He softens. And he prepares our hearts to hear his word. He will have mercy on whom he will have mercy. It is according to God's will. It is not of him that wills or of him that runs, but of God that shows mercy. These are scriptures. It is of God that shows mercy. God is merciful. We ought to be merciful. But he's also vengeful. He will execute vengeance on the enemies. The Lord hath created all things for himself, the wicked for the day of evil. Whom he wills, he hardens, because it is according to his will. And God is, the thing is, and well, isn't God merciful to them? He already is. He's merciful to the wicked. He lets them live when they ought to die. You know, because judgment is postponed, men think God doesn't care, and they behave even more wickedly. But we, who are called to salvation, judgment is postponed. But we, taking heed to the word of God, taking heed to the promises of God, we lay hold on salvation, and he enters into our hearts and changes us from within, that we might walk in a way that is pleasing to him, so that we can pass by that judgment, so that we can go from judgment and pass through it and by it and unto life. And we can enter into the kingdom of God as sons and not pass through judgment unto destruction. There are weightier matters than merely, let's believe in the name of Jesus. Let's believe that God raised him from the dead. That is a very shallow faith. If your faith does not move on from those simple facts, I mean, if you literally take just that verse and think, now I'm saved, nothing more. You will be the man in the parable in chapter 22 who appeared without a wedding garment. And he's going to say, how'd you get in here without a wedding garment? And you're going to be speechless because you were warned. And you say, well, let's say, what if they never heard you say that, Paul? Their consciences will be there to convict them because they knew they were playing loopholes. I mean, I guess that's the greatest legal loophole of all. If you say in your heart, if you say with your mouth, Jesus Christ is Lord, and in your heart you believe, yeah, I think Jesus was raised from the dead. Yep, I believe that. I think that happened. And do nothing more? Then you're saved? It says you shall be saved. I'll tell you what, because if you truly believe those things, I have a lot of confidence that if you really believe, as a grain of mustard seed, remember, a grain of mustard seed worth of faith can move a mountain. So if you think your faith is not strong enough to move a mountain, your faith probably isn't strong enough to believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And you probably are just saying you believe. And you're telling me I believe. And you want to be seen of men to be a believer. And you want to see yourself to be a believer. And you're not just deceiving me and lying to me. You're probably deceiving yourself. And faith is not entered into your heart. Because if you really believed, you would do more. Because faith shows itself in works that are done. I believe Jesus Christ rose from the dead, so I'm going to obsess myself with the teachings of Jesus Christ. I'm going to learn everything he had to say. I'm going to pay attention to the doctrines of those people who he appointed to be apostles after him. I'm going to pay careful attention to all those things because he is Lord and because he is risen from the dead and I want to live forever. I want to enter into eternal life, so I'm going to pay strict attention to that. If you believed he was those things, then you would truly do those things. But if you believe instead that, well, I believe that if I believe in Romans 10 verse 9, I believe, then I believe I'll be saved. If I believe in that verse, because they're not really believing Jesus as Lord. They're believing that that verse is enough. And that's leaven. Strain it in at. Swallow a camel. It's the beam and the speck again. Then you swallow unrighteousness, whole. Judgment, whole. Judgment is something that ought to be given our attention. Judgment should not be omitted. Because the judgment of God is sure against them which do such things, Paul said in Romans chapter 2. You know, we know that those which do such things, the things that keep you out of the kingdom of heaven, that they will not inherit eternal life. We know the judgment of God concerning those things. I don't judge people who are sinners. God has judged what sin is. That isn't my judgment. The judgment of God is not my... I just affirm. I believe. But I'm not judging anything. I'm using judgment in the course of my life, but as far as laying out judgment of what is right, what is wrong, when some things are by permission. You know, and when those things come by the Spirit of God, we have to try to judge them. The situations that come about. And I think we covered a lot of that in the epistles of Paul. How we judge among ourselves. Being careful in judgment, right? Judging righteous judgment. Exercising good judgment, because you don't want to exercise bad judgment, because everyone is going to judge. But take heed how you judge. Moving on to verse 25. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Inwardly we must be cleansed. That is the message of the gospel. We got to be clean inside. And people think that when they believe, they're instantly clean. Then wherefore have you lust in your heart? Wherefore have you sin in your members? Put to death your members which are on the earth. You need to continue. And you say, well, I thought it would happen right away, but it didn't happen, so I went away disappointed. And they say to me, Paul, why do you teach people that they are going to be righteous? You're going to disappoint them. Only if they stop believing. I won't disappoint you. Because I'm going to tell you, it is a marathon. I'm going to tell you, you need to keep running. If you don't want to be disappointed, don't stop. Don't stop believing. Don't stop striving. Don't give any pause. Be diligent. Use speed to obtain the promises of God. And I promise you, you will not be disappointed. And I can say that with all the authority in heaven and earth, because this word by Jesus Christ, by his apostles, that's what's taught me that this is so. You will not be disappointed. Believe, rather, and it will be so unto you. And you know, and they still do this to this day. They believe this outward belief. And you go to church, and what do you see? I see this in life. I look around, and except for people who are fat, or are people who wear their sin on their sleeves, in the way they dress, perhaps, by the pride that they put into their appearance, you know, but for the most part, you look at a lot of people, and you just see righteousness, don't you? Or at least they look clean. You know, they look clean. The outside looks clean. This couple looks like a good couple, don't they? But I, you know, sometimes, you know, when you see the fatness of America, they talk about how fat we are these days. And it was about a year ago in walking into Walmart, and I looked at all the fat people, and I looked at myself, and I said, I'm overweight. I'm still overweight. I've lost a lot of weight. Almost 50 pounds. But there's still, I want to lose more.